Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 287, episode 4 of Dear Daily Zeitgeist!
And everybody, why don't you stay by the warehouse?
Yeah! This is still a production of iHeartRadio. I didn't catch any of that.
I tried to do the full Dean Scream lead up. Then we're going to watch DC to take back the warehouse.
Yeah! DC!
We're going to watch it. We're going to watch DC to take back the warehouse. Yeah!
Dean just like cranked up on cocaine.
Had to cram it in, man. Yeah. the whole book.
Well, this is a podcast, Miles. Mm-hmm. Did you know this? Did you hear about this? You see
no.
this? This
Inform
is a
me.
Podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness.
Oh.
Take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness.
I don't know if I like that.
I sound more and more like a carnival or a
auctioneer. Yeah.
Thank you. We finish each other's
sandwiches. Yeah.
It's Thursday, May 18th, 2023, which of course means
May 18th. National Cheese Souffle Day. National No Dirty Dishes Day. Also, International Museum Day. National HIV Vaccine Awareness Day. National Visit Your Relatives Day.
HIV Vaccine Awareness Day.
Yeah. Raising awareness.
That there is one? Or just the
who work together to find.
Oh, okay. Got it.
A safe.
I like it.
And vaccine. Yes. You know, it's all about research. It's all about research.
That research. All right. Well, my name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. we're going down, down in the second played round. And, buddy, we're going down, sadly.
No.
That is courtesy of May Curie.
Oh, yeah.
On the Discord.
Yeah.
May Curie. Who said, I don't know enough about sports to take it further. But Jack talking about his sad NBA made me think of Sugar, We're Going Down.
His sad NBA is my favorite description.
Talking about his sad NBA. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. I'm over it. Or, you know, it's one of those breakups that we've tried too many times. I'm just moving along, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Miles Gray, a.k.a. Fresh Out of the Deep Fryer, reaching temps that no one's seen, fresh out the deep fryer, straight to the skin of your preteen. Shout out to Ray Zach on the Discord because, yeah, we're talking about those McDonald's nuggies burning that child.
Yeah, four is, I guess, definitely preteen. They're four-year-old.
You got to rhyme with no one seen, you know, what are you going to say? Preschool attendee. I don't know. Look, I'm not here to workshop it. I like the original.
Yeah. I just refer to my kids as preteens now.
Me too, my baby.
And seven.
Oh, you got a kid? Yeah, preteen. Oh, really? How old? 3.5 months.
There you go. Hey, it's technically true.
Yeah, and of course.
Why you want to know so much about my kid, huh? Who's this guy?
What are you, the cops? Get the fuck out of here.
What are you, a fucking cop?
What are you, a fucking cop?
Asking about my kid?
What his real age is? Don't worry, he's a preteen. Move on.
Miles,
mm-hmm.
We are thrilled to be joined by an award-winning writer, investigative journalist, podcaster, who you know from her Peabody-nominated work On This Land, her investigative climate podcast, Drilled. Please welcome back to the show on a four-year cycle,
Woo! It's
Amy Westervelt!
Welcome
back.
Thank you so much for that amazing intro.
But before we started recording, we were talking about you were last on May 22nd, 2019.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Back
you were like the Olympics and presidential elections just every
and,
4 years.
And the World Cup.
Drop some Westervelt on our ass.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, catch us up in the last 4 years.
So things are good, right? Things have gone well.
What's happened lately?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anything new?
Oh my God. Well, I guess the big new thing is that I live in Costa Rica now. So
oh shit, pura vida.
Yeah, man, pura vida.
Wait, where are you in CR?
Guanacaste.
Oh, Guanacaste. Okay.
Yeah.
Shout out.
On the Pacific coast. It's nice. Yes.
I actually got married there.
You did? Where?
Yeah, in Jaco.
Oh, Jaco is really nice, too.
In Punta Arenas.
Nice.
Yeah, not Guanacaste. Nice. Punta Arenas. Yeah. My aunt is Costa Rican, so I've been going there since I was a kid. Yeah.
You've got a tica tia?
Yeah, my tica tia. Shout out Ruth. Yeah. But she's from Limon. She's from the Atlantic side, where the black people are at.
I still haven't been to Limon yet. I really want to go.
Oh, it's dope. It's dope. It's so
amazing.
Different.
And the history is so interesting. And I want to go.
Okay.
Yes.
Living there, do you feel like you are 60% less stressed out? Than
Yes.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Like, that's how I feel every time I leave America.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I work on all the same stuff. I'm still immersed in all of the, like, crazy politics and climate stuff and all of it. But it the context really helps.
Yeah.
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 Especially in a country too that is like trying to do right by their own and like patch of earth. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like my kids are in school here and they had the day off a few months ago for the day that they celebrate getting rid of their military so they'd have money to pay for like healthcare and education.
Right.
And
I'm what?
Like, I love this place.
Never mind. I'm no longer on board. No
Jack,
military.
They'll send a doctor to you if you like live in a remote place to be like, hey, you doing all right?
Yeah, what are they coming to my house to get my guns, Miles? Yeah. Come on,
to
man.
Force a vaccine
I'm
going to
fall for
throat.
That shit, Jack. Get out of here. Wow.
Yeah, it's
that sounds nice. That sounds really nice.
I
dream of leaving the U.S. and then part of me is like, yeah, but then you go somewhere and like wherever you go, there you are. And I'd be just as stressed anywhere else. But
you can't run away from your problems, Jack.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I did. But lived in Ireland for like a few months when I was in college. And like, I just remember getting back and just like the ambient stress level of everybody in line at the airport.
Oh, yeah.
Just like you can just like sense this silent, invisible, just like anger and energy.
Yep.
And mm-hmm.
Totally. I know like the longer I go without going back to the like when I have been here for like, you know, 5 or 6 months without going back to the US and I go back, it's really noticeable. It's really like, oh my God, why is everyone such an asshole to each other?
Yeah.
Yes. So mean to each other.
Right.
So mean to each other.
Just,
in the US.
I think it's just a reflection. Like when you're in a place where the government is actively telling you like, we don't give a fuck about you or what happens to you.
Yeah.
Everyone's just like, fuck, versus if there's just some semblance of like, you know, community or responsibility towards each other.
That's right.
Just you're laid back a couple clicks. It might not be as lit, like with the consumer goods, as maybe the U.S.
Oh, absolutely but trade, not. Yeah, that's like the biggest thing is you cannot, like, I went to, okay, so last year I was in Guyana reporting a story, and I hung out with this guy who's a chef. He, you know, used to live in New York for years and years and was from Guyana, moved back home. And he and I were talking about the U.S. and he's like, do you miss it? Like, you've been gone for a while now. Do you miss anything about the U.S.? And I was like, you know, the only thing I miss sometimes is the way that America makes it extremely easy to participate in capitalism.
Right.
Right.
Like, occasionally, yes, like that convenience is missed, but otherwise not really. I mean, it's but yeah, I think it's, you know, everybody is kind of having put in the position of having to fight for scraps, and it leads to this really competitive, you know, individualistic culture that is like not healthy for any of us.
No, I mean, you got to hustle to keep your health care.
That's right.
That does something to your central nervous system as a human being.
Yeah.
Totally. But
The retail therapy is real. Like,
yes,
that scene in White Noise, like there's a scene in White Noise where like the family just goes to the grocery store to like feel whole again.
Right.
Like, look at the colors and like let them wash over them. And that is real to me. Like, I love a trip to the grocery store and just
Costa Rica, go to Más o Menos and get there, right. There, you know.
Más o Menos.
Exactly.
Más o Menos, Mega Super, whatever it is, go get it.
Yeah. They got it. They got it.
But like, you can get really good food stuff here, and I don't know, whatever. And you just, after a while, even with my kids, like I have, my kids are 7 and 10, also preteens. And
preteens. Yeah.
Oh, well, I think my 3.5 month year old, or 3.5 month year old as well. My 3.5 month year old also.
Yeah, Miles, did you hear how judgy she was when she said actual preteens?
Yeah,
really. Our preteens.
Really leaning like, to
in
actual.
To our preteens.
Wow.
That's so weird.
Yeah, you're 6 and 4 preteens. But you were saying,
The first month or something, they were like, can't we just order it on Amazon and have it delivered tomorrow? And I'm like, yeah, not a thing here, guys. Sorry, they're used to it. But now it's like, it doesn't come up.
How old were they when you guys moved?
They were 5 and 8.
Damn. All right. So, I still got time. I could do it.
Yeah. It's quite easy to immigrate to Costa Rica. I just want to put that out there. They make it very easy in lots of different ways.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
And
it's great.
Look, and pura vida, you know, that's the
totally.
Fucking ethos there. Live that shit out there. And it's funny, too. Like, back when I was like years ago, my friends would be like, oh, can I go to Costa Rica? Like, when you go, I want to go with you. Every person that comes with me, ruined. They're ruined after.
I know. I went to I had to go to a conference last month in the U.S. And like I was on a bunch of panels, one of which was actually like a panel that I organized. And I went to lunch beforehand and I was like, I want to walk back from lunch. It's a beautiful day. And I totally pura vida'd my ass into being like 10 minutes late for my own panel. And I was like, what the fuck were you doing, man? And I'm like, I don't know. I wanted to walk after lunch. What?
Oh, here's something you should learn. You should learn about me. I'm on Tico time.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
And when you were 10 minutes late for your own panel, your life completely fell apart, right? And that was,
you know what? Everyone just found it charming.
Oh, weird. So that you can actually just have a good pace of life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not in my brain. My brain would be like, this is it. This is the end.
The end of my life. That's
over. Might as well not even fucking show up.
Yeah.
All right, Amy, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We're going to talk about the 1.5 Celsius threshold of global warming, which we're going to be crossing in the coming days. It'll be like that scene in The Social Network where they have the big numbers up on the board and then everybody celebrates and Mark Zuckerberg threatens to sue somebody. So we're just going to talk about the general state of climate with Amy. We are also going to get to a fellow, you know, David V. Goliaths. Amy, you know, Amy takes on the fossil fuel industry, tells difficult truths about them that they don't want told. Well, there's another David taking on Goliath by the name of Kirk Cameron. Ooh. And he has decided to take on Big Librarian. So get ready for a sordid tale. All of that, plenty more. But first, Amy, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Well, this morning I was looking up oil stock prices, which I feel like is very on brand, but yeah, but like the less expected one from last night. This is embarrassing. I looked up how to make fried mac and cheese balls because I had a bunch of leftover mac and cheese,
which
is both gross but also delicious. Really good. Yes.
Well, so just breadcrumbs, basically? Just
you okay, you roll them into balls and you freeze them. Like you roll leftovers into like little balls, freeze it, then you cover it in egg and breadcrumbs. Yeah, and then pop it in the air fryer.
I'm going to need a little more cheese on that.
Got it.
You need a little more cheese coating that thing, like a couple inches of cheese.
Yeah, for sure. I was thinking about that. Like, could I wrap a piece of cheese around this before I fry it next time?
Yes. Yeah. Or use the egg as the glue that sticks the cheese to it. I don't know.
Yeah.
And you were checking the oil stocks just to see how your portfolio was doing?
Yeah.
How you doing? Yes.
Are you diversified? Because I got Exxon, I got BP, Shell, baby. I got them all. So
They're all there. No, I wanted to see if there was a really big ruling in a case I was following against Exxon. And I wanted to see if it was, the ruling came out against Exxon. I wanted to see if it impacted their stock. And it did.
No.
Oh, so that's why
Exxon.
That's why you weren't in Zurich this winter. When I was looking for you on the slopes, and I was like, where's Amy? I'm like, oh, must be the stock
Where
prices.
Is she?
Ooh, Exxon got dinged.
Probably walking home, being 10 minutes late to this skiing. What is something you think is overrated?
Oh, Blue Sky, the new social media app.
No!
Really?
Yes.
Go on.
It's just old Twitter. It's old Twitter. It's 2008-ish Twitter. And I feel like they're not doing anything that makes me think it will end up differently. So, yeah. Also, honestly, I feel like everyone should just take the opportunity to get the fuck off of social media. Like, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. And like, we're all scurrying around trying to find a cool replacement. But like, maybe it's just time to, you know, talk to people in real life. Touch grass, as the youths like to say.
Yeah.
So where do you find the strangers that you argue with? Do you just kind of find a stranger on the street and go up and just
actually weird little discovery about my corner of Costa Rica is that a whole bunch of really like random libertarians have moved here in the last few years, including a lot of like Alberta tar sands billionaires from Canada. So yes, I come across strangers to argue with, not
on the street, in real life, huh?
In my neighborhood sometimes. Yes,
that area is interesting because like flying out of San Jose is very different than flying out of Liberia.
Oh yeah,
because like the airport in Liberia feels like Florida.
Yes,
like when I'm there, I'm like, I'm sorry, where am who are
it's like
y'all are
so
here?
yeah totally. And then you know Tamarindo, which is like the biggest kind of town aside from Liberia here, is everyone calls it Tamagringo because it is so
right,
it's like the whitest town. And
good sport fishing, so, though, that's what brings me down here. Great sport fishing.
Yeah, so there are all these people, and it's I had a conversation just last week with someone who was saying they were from Alberta, tar sands guy, and he was like, I like it here because it's because of the freedom. And and I was like, oh, you know what actually enables that freedom? The enormous social safety net, sir. Good day.
Yeah, good day. I'm like, how are you with all the vaccine passport stuff when Costa Rica was on top of that? Because they were on top of that.
But they were on top of it. And a bunch of those people just like couldn't leave the country for like a while because not only was Costa Rica on top of it, but also, you know, other countries were asking for vaccine things too. So yeah, actually a bunch of those people were effectively housebound. And that's the thing too. They're like, oh, but I didn't get sick. And I'm like, yeah, because the fucking rest of the country got vaccinated, dude. That's how it works.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway,
I think it's just safer here.
See, it's just like Twitter, but in real life.
Yeah. You get to have the same arguments. And they aren't even made up people in your head while you're trying to go to sleep in the middle of the night.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
What is what's something you think is underrated?
I'm so embarrassed to say this out loud. Birds. I fucking love to watch birds.
Go off, bird queen. What
there's
else?
There's so many amazing birds here.
These things, but I actually haven't. So you've got a person who's underrating birds here. I've heard of them, but like, I don't know.
I've heard tell of these birds.
They're little flying dinosaurs. They're little flying dinosaurs. How dare you? Yes. No,
reading. What's the book that's about like the evolution of how they became so beautiful?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I weirdly have an obsession with burbs and yet know nothing about them. Like burbs. Made it a point. Burbs.
Burbs. That is much cuter. Also.
Oh, you burbs. Heard that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The rise of burbs.
Obsession with burbs.
I need a t-shirt that says, I heart burbs now.
Yes.
Right, please.
Anyway, yeah, I really like them. I like watching them, but I know almost nothing about them. Someone asked me, like I had someone visiting the other day and I was like, oh, look, it's my favorite yellow bird. And they're like, you mean the blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't know what it's called. I just like it. It's yellow.
Yeah. I don't know. Yellow bird.
I don't know. Yellow.
I love birds, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm picturing that conversation happening around Big Bird, by the way. You're like, I love Yellow Bird. And they're like, Big Bird. You're like, I don't know the technical name for it.
Whatever you call him.
Yes. I'm not gonna hit you with the binomial nomenclature here, but I believe it's just Yellow Bird.
Yeah. Ah, damn. My Google search, How Birds Got So Pretty, did not. did not bring up the book that I was thinking of.
It's not like the Rise of Birds?
Evolution of
The Evolution Beauty. Of Birds by Sarah Hills?
How Beauty is Making Science.
The Rise of Birds?
No. I'll figure it out by the end, but
I love
it's
that
interesting.
Google search, though. It's good.
Yeah. It's all about just, you know, they started, it's been a steady arms race of like how to be most beautiful bird since they started evolving. And it's
is
like,
that not, like so humans won't kill them, or is it some other?
No, thing? It's not like that's what I always assumed. It was like there must be some, you know, survival of the fittest, like kill or be killed thing to this. And it's just mating and trying to be the sexiest bird to other
amazing
birds.
Yeah, I love it. See,
and it's all about birds. Yeah, it's all about being hot, and
right,
that's also nice. Why their songs are so beautiful. It has nothing to do with us. They don't give a shit about us.
I feel like you're just talking yourself into loving birds more right now.
No, I actually do. I was playing character of a guy who
a bird
like
hater.
Burbs. Yeah, bird hater.
I love birds too. I got nothing against them.
Yeah, it's the one like with the bower bird that like builds that immaculate like sex throne, sex palace.
Yes!
The bower bird like builds, like goes around, gets all these like shiny trinkets and different things. And
like, hey.
It's like, hey, man.
Check this out. This is a check this is an old plastic out. Spoon.
Like some of the dances, amazing. Some of the mating dances that they do, it's like four dudes will do a mating dance so that one of them can mate, and they are like elaborate. And
that was one of my favorite Planet Earth segments too, was on the one they were showing all the different birds and like how they were just all getting down, and then just watching like the disinterested female be like, nah, and just fly away.
Yeah.
It's like the male is crestfallen.
So sorry. The Evolution of Beauty, How Darwin's Forgotten Theory of Mate Choice Shapes the Animal World and Us by Richard O. Prum.
Found
didn't even have birds in the title.
It has birds.
Nice.
Yeah.
Burbs.
No burbs. Yeah. Burbs.
The burbs.
Well, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about some news.
My favorite Tom Hanks movie, The Burbs.
Da Burbs.
Zeit gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone. Transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system. or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And so is this climate change story back in the news. It's like, enough. We get it. Am I right?
Dude, I remember telling you after Coachella, Jack, I was telling you, like, I'm only about good vibes right now.
Yes. Yeah. We are a vibes cast.
And I didn't want to think about climate change or whatever it's called. It's so such a bummer. But yeah, man, 1.5 degrees Celsius is like something that's stressed me out since I first heard of like the concept, you know, that the Earth is a degree and a half Celsius warmer now than it was on the back end of the 19th century. It's sort of like a key indicator of potential runaway climate change, which would lead to increased fires and drought and storms and heat waves and everything we've seen that has been so fucking horrific. And, you know, it's obviously the key number behind many climate summits and negotiations around emissions, and researchers are now saying that they expect to see us pass this threshold within the next few years, like by 2027, they think it's going to happen. And they say there's still time, and that merely getting to 1.5 degrees Celsius doesn't mean that the Paris Agreement is completely futile. It would have to be a sustained sort of increase over 20 years for that to happen. But as someone who is constantly freaked the fuck out by the chances of, again, increased terrible weather events, it fills me with an impotent rage, a phrase we've been saying quite frequently on the show. But yeah, like, yeah. Amy, as someone that's, you're very dialed in on this and all of the machinations around climate change and climate denial, aside from the fact that climate change denial is doing its job, how are you feeling about this news?
It's really frustrating because I feel like, well, first of all, I feel like we should say that a lot of the predictions around it happening in the next few years are also related to the El Nino weather stuff.
The warming,
and so scientists are like, we'll probably cross it and then go back.
Yeah.
Which is good. Just to, you know, give people a very tiny sliver of
a slight breath
of the silver lining. But But yeah, I mean, aside from that, every single indication is that we are hurtling towards 1.5 degrees and beyond. I mean, since the Paris Climate Agreement, I don't think anyone has actually kept their commitments, and we're going the opposite direction on oil and gas development. That's just the facts. Right. So I mean, I don't know. My personal opinion is that the international climate negotiations process has kind of been broken from the beginning. I mean, there were fossil fuel companies involved in that from the from jump. I mean, from, you know, even before the first, they call them the Conference of the Parties, COP, which are these like annual global meetings where all of the leaders get together and they decide on an agreement.
ACAB.
Before that.
COP 26. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So before that, in 1992, there was the Rio Earth Summit, which is where they came up with, like, you know, the UN framework for climate change and how they were going to bring everyone together to do this. And there were oil guys all over that place.
Right.
They helped to craft some of the language of the UN framing on climate change. And really, like, with the idea of, you know, we will voluntarily do XYZ. So nobody has to regulate emissions. Nobody has to make emissions reductions mandatory, any of that. The closest that we ever got to doing something that would have, that, you know, had some real impact was probably the Kyoto Protocol in the mid 90s, which had binding emissions reductions where you had to actually do something. Since then, everything's been voluntary. So,
right.
You know, in Europe, there are countries that are being sued for not regulating their oil and gas companies to keep them in line with the Paris Climate Accord, which is very interesting. There was a case last year in the Netherlands where a court ordered Shell to reduce their emissions. They were like, you guys actually have to reduce emissions across the board around the world from not just your own operations, but also the use of your product by like 40% in the next 10 years or something like that. So there are like things happening outside of the global kind of negotiations, but I don't know. I feel like, I kind of think it's time, you know, to just kick the fossil fuel industry out of that whole process. They've been there the whole time. You know, we're not getting any closer to actually doing something. And you know, next year's COP is going to be held by the United Arab Emirates and is like
Jesus Christ.
The most fossil fueled of these events to have happened. So it's getting worse now.
Right.
And, yeah. It's covered like it's a solution, like it's a possible solution every year. And the people who are on the ground are like, this is disgusting. Oil industry trade show.
It is. It's exactly that.
And I always talk about, too, like how outnumbered representatives from countries are versus the fossil fuel industry.
When you're
there are more people here from the fossil fuel industry than like countries that are at like right now seeing the worst of climate change.
Exactly. But then you also have like at the same time you have, I don't know, we just did this story in Guyana, which has me thinking a lot about all of this stuff because they're Global South country. They had no oil industry up until 2019. So actually the last time I was here is when they started their oil industry.
And what's happened in that time? Good news for them?
They are now on track to be the number one like production zone for ExxonMobil in the world.
Jesus Christ.
For it to happen that quickly is really unheard of.
Right.
And you know, it's really interesting to talk to some of the politicians there because Guyana was like a big conservation leader for a long time. They were one of the first countries that was sort of like paid by polluting countries to preserve their forests and stuff like that. And they're like a big ecotourism destination, all of this stuff. But they're like, we have 90% of our population on the coast, and it is that stretch of the coast where 90% of the population lives is going to be underwater by 2030. And we don't have the money to do anything about that. So we're getting into the oil business. And I was just like, man, that is the biggest indictment of the international climate like negotiation system that I can think of. Because like we have put these countries in the position of being dependent on oil fucking companies to adapt to climate change.
Right.
So anyway, I'm really fun at parties and Yeah, I mean, I think the thing with 1.5 is like, just to give people again, like a tiny bit of, not necessarily hope, but maybe like fuel to keep going. It's just that like, it's every percentage of a degree counts, and everything that we do now will have an impact on, you know, the viability of the next generation. And we're not great as humans at thinking about, you know, being a good ancestor to future generations, but we need to be.
Right.
Because we need to get there.
I think other civilizations were good at that. It's just this Western hyper-consumerist, hyper-capitalism version of humanity, which is an aberration. It's just a cancer that's taken over and spread, but it's...
Totally.
It is bad at that, but there have been, you know, long-surviving civilizations that were
able to... good at it.
Yeah, we're
good exactly. at it. Yeah,
so the only concept we have of being good ancestors is like, well, I need to accumulate as much wealth now.
Yes.
To leave that maybe behind, or maybe I die with it all in my coffin. I don't know. But that's like the thinking that you think people do now is sort of like, it's a financial future.
Yeah.
That's
and
right.
it's like, it's anything else is too abstract. It's not about like, well, I can make decisions now, like to your point, Amy, that can reverberate on some level.
Right.
But we don't think like that, do we?
No. Yeah, exactly. Like a lot of indigenous cultures had that really baked into everything, you know, like
totally.
How what we do now will impact this water source for future generations and this food source and all of that stuff. And I feel like, the world has gotten really far away from, weirdly, from the sorts of behaviors and practices that are conducive to the sustainability of human life. Like, we talk about sustainability, you know, and it's like, well, the environment or the trees or whatever. And yes, like all of that is very important and we're part of that. But I don't understand the death wish thing. And I don't think that most humans have it. I think we're talking about a very specific group of people make these decisions and who, and, you know, people say things like, well, they're, you know, that's ridiculous because nobody can escape the impacts of climate change. I don't think that's actually true. I don't think that they think it's true. I think that you have a bunch of people who are like, I'll just get in my spaceship. Like freaking Elon Musk is on that tip now, you know, it's like Wall-E, and like bunkers in New Zealand and Costa Rica, and
they're all buying up beach or like, you know,
and aquifers.
Yeah.
So we've talked a little bit about like a couple of stories in the past few months that have made me feel somewhat optimistic are the story of how the Netherlands cut emissions across their country by like getting rid of cars, basically, in a lot of their cities.
And it made their cities more pleasant, too.
Yes. So that's what I wanted to ask you is like, I think the thing that appeals to me about these two stories, like Paris becoming this like amazing bikeable city, the Netherlands doing that after being like just traffic choked, like the worst versions of American cities, you know, within the past like 50 years. And I think a problem we have is like a lack of imagination of the solution to climate change could be cool and could like create a reality that actually, you know, captures your imagination and makes the world like a more fun place to be. Like they turned a highway into a river beach on the River Seine, like in
Paris. Amazing.
Like that fucking rules.
Yeah.
So like, yeah. And then there are things I think we tend to hear a lot about the vicious cycles and not the virtuous cycles when it comes to climate. So like, I'm just curious, are there other places where you see people like creating better, more sustainable futures that are actually like more fun? Or like,
Honestly, I feel like every single place that has done that has created a like higher quality of living as a result. I mean, I live in a country that very much did that. Like Costa Rica in the 70s, you know, decided not to industrialize, well, actually to undo a bunch of industrialization that had happened and to really prioritize protecting the ecosystem in a way. It's not at all like, it forgets about humans or something. I feel like that's a trope that, you know, a lot of people think is true, that like you, well, A, that humans aren't part of the environment, and B, that if you care about ecosystems, you don't care about humans. But anyway, like they did a really good job of, you know, talking to all of the different types of stakeholders, farmers and, you know, fishermen and all of these people who depended on these resources, and figuring out a way to protect them and to enable everyone to actually enjoy, you know, being in all of these beautiful natural places. And like, it's a way better quality of life.
Amazing.
New Zealand too. We actually did a whole season on like a legal concept called rights of nature that comes from indigenous ideas about kind of how to value nature and how to think through any decision that you're making through the lens of like what impacts it will have on the ecosystem, including humans. But, you know, kind of, okay, like let's take a holistic view of what it will mean to build this building or build this road or whatever. And in New Zealand, they have kind of baked that into like a sort of a land back movement with First Nations people there. It's fascinating. So they restored rights to like a sacred mountain to the Maori there. And they kind of gave, so the mountain has rights, and then the Maori community has the ability to protect the mountain's rights. And so because of that, like they've turned what had been a national park that wasn't being looked after, like it was full of trash and people were kind of dumping on it all the time, into this really, really beautiful place that has all of these, you know, cultural centers and language learning classes, and has just become like a point of pride for the local community, and also someplace for, you know, people in the country to come and visit. And like, I don't know, I feel like there was a chapter in the most recent intergovernmental panel on climate change report, the IPCC report, that was like the most wonky title. I think it was called Demand Growth Scenarios or something like that. But the whole point of it was so boring. But the whole point of it was like looking at these co-benefits of like reducing consumption, basically. It was kind of radical for them to say this, because it was like the most anti-capitalist like proposal from this panel of scientists. And they were like, actually, if we just changed all of these behaviors that are pretty basic, it's like, you know, making it easier to get around cities on public transport or walking or biking, shifting diets, not entirely getting rid of meat, but like just making them more plant-based.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like a lot of really basic things. They were like, we could actually reduce emissions from 40 to 70%. By 2050, just doing those things, not deploying a new technology, not like waiting for someone to come up with a, you know, giant vacuum that sucks carbon out of the sky, which is seems to be a lot of people's dream right now.
Right.
You know, and that it has all of these benefits for health, for, you know, quality of life, for economically for people, it costs less to live in cities like that. So yeah, I feel like there's this tendency for the climate movement to kind of constantly just be reacting to the oil guys and their friends saying like, they want to take your hamburgers, or like, right, they never want you to travel again or whatever. Instead of being like, no, we don't. I think the climate people kind of need to be like, this is what we're talking about, and just leave their framing altogether.
Right. You know? More bikes.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lack of imagination for how good, you know, a more sustainable future can be. And then there's a lack of imagination for how evil and cynical like things actually are on the corporate side. Like it's
and there's like an overemphasis of how great things are in this like hyper-capitalism. Like, look around, guys. It's not good.
Yeah.
You know, do you feel, you know, everyone I know in the US is super stressed out. No one is being made happier by, you know, the super fast, convenient capitalism that's provided.
We're,
you know,
becoming and like, more like isolated and cellularized, and the only thing it's good for is making consumerism like easier. It's not good for people.
Hyper-consumerism is the new opioid of the masses, basically.
Totally.
But it doesn't even work.
And it doesn't work. Exactly. Happy.
And all we're doing is just fucking fiending for the next thing. And we're the fuck. But yeah. I actually have a proposal that can tackle climate change and gun control, because the Netherlands, you know, it's a good juxtaposition. They got more bikes than people over there.
Mm. Okay? Yeah.
America got more guns than people. What we need to do is convert these guns to bikes.
Yes.
And now you're taking guns off the street and you turn them into bicycles. Amazing. I think it's win-win.
It's a win-win.
Yeah. Or you just have to always have to market bikes to be like the new fucking pickup truck too.
Right.
Just to like, you're a truck?
Tires with spikes on them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And we just need like a cool, you know, like Jack, you were referencing Fast and the Furious sort of off mic about like how that makes cars look cool.
Yeah. Yes. Like that's like the win-win is the like cooler cities to exist in and they're more sustainable, like better quality of life and it's sustainable. Fast and the Furious would be like a win-lose where it's like cool movie. It does make gas powered cars look really
look
good.
Fucking cool. Yeah.
makes them look too damn cool. So we need more win-wins, like things that appeal to our imagination.
And there's a bunch of them out there. It's not like we have to go create a bunch of new things. There's like a whole bunch of stuff out there that already delivers you know, multiple wins.
Our media does a terrible job of covering it.
That's right. Yeah. It's so interesting too. Like if we just had protected bike lanes through intersections,
yes,
like that would even help. Like I feel like especially in LA, because that's where people get hit.
Yeah,
And I feel like just incrementally be like, you know what, we're going to turn up the intersections a little bit so the bike lanes are protected. I'm sure so many more people would ride bikes, like myself included, because in LA, some of these intersections, man, you're just. It's like it's a miracle how there isn't like a rapidly increasing like number of fucked up bike v car accidents.
Yeah. London has like built a bunch of like separate bike paths. Like they're like out completely separate and like go around go around intersections. And
yeah,
they look cool and they're I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Like I just think there's a hopelessness because we aren't given the proper like imaginative ballast to like create the solutions in our own minds.
Yeah. You know?
And to think that the solutions are like feasible here. Possible. There's such defeatism, I think.
Yeah.
In the face of all of the corporate control and, you know, corrupt government stuff and whatever. But you do see at like at the city and state level, you know, things can happen. And so
Yeah.
Like Denver had a great like e-bike program that was so popular and, you know, that's been a boon for them. And I just think like if you have to like even start smaller, like during the in the initial parts of the pandemic, I was really into this web series called Drum and Bass on the Bike. And it was this guy who basically he's like a DJ, but rigged up speakers and like a turntable set up to his bicycle.
Amazing.
And just rode around blasting drum and bass, and it just grew to like hundreds of people all on bikes, just vibing out to music, but on bikes.
I love it.
Was that in LA?
No, it was in England. Like started off in London. And then he would be like, yo, I'm going to be in Brighton. I'm going to be in Manchester. I'm going to be in Liverpool, whatever. And people just would come out just to like first just kind of vibe out because everybody felt so separated. But I was like, this is genius on another level because it's not so much about like we're doing the right thing by the environment or whatever, but like getting people really into the idea of like getting together, being on bikes and just having like a really good time with that. And I feel like that's kind of like my Fast and Furious of like biking that I see. And I'm like, more of that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I love that shit in
first
LA.
First and foremost, it's a dope party. Secondly, it's...
And we need that. Like I always, whenever people ask me like about anything that gives me like optimism on the climate front, it's always community stuff. It's always like, any like community action, because like, A, we need that as like in the US in particular, like really needs to sort of like figure out community, you know?
Yeah.
And then on top of that, it's also like, it's also how you're going to survive climate change.
Yeah.
You know, like as we deal with more and more extreme weather events, like you need to have neighbors that you can count on. Like you need to live in community with other people. And we have got to figure that shit out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Americans tend to, who haven't been through a crisis or a climate crisis or a hurricane, you know, glued to their screens watching the other people. And they're like, I bet there's looting crews going around. I would shoot them so hard. And then people who are actually in the crisis are like helping each other out. And like, this was actually totally. Like a really cool, like I learned a lot about my neighbors and like, I really respect them a lot more.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
I think it was a podcast that I was listening to that you were on that mentioned that Amy Coney Barrett's dad is a longtime Shell executive.
Yeah. Yep.
What? Sure like that, is. So that's number two. Like, so we learned and that yet, Brett Kavanaugh's dad was like the lobbyist who made it possible for Johnson & Johnson to continue to sell baby powder, even though it was like obviously giving people cancer. And
right.
Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah, it's amazing.
And like, Alito, Justice Alito has stock in ConocoPhillips. That's another one.
Like, do they pick these people out to be Supreme Court justices when they were kids? Or are they just like, yeah, they got the pedigree of like pro oil, pro.
They find them when they're preteens.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
It is cynical and complex, and it's wild that like there isn't more made of that also.
I know. It's
the bad guy is really bad. The good positive solutions could be really fun. And it gets ignored a lot.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk Kirk Cameron. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back. And Kirk Cameron is back in all of our minds and hearts. So he was trending, I think it was last week, not because there's a new entry in the Left Behind cinematic universe, although we're all waiting on the edge of our seats for that, but due to an OAN interview in which he ranted about how public schools are, quote, killing God from his home, which features a barn with a giant crucifix entryway. Like,
wow. Just
the whole side of the barn is a crucifix hole that you then like walk through to get through.
And I hate to take it to Bible school again, like I did yesterday with the Good Samaritan thing, but that's just a cross. It's not a crucifix. A crucifix is the depiction of Christ on the cross. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry, Christ. I'm sorry, Christ. Do not smite this podcast.
But it's just so impractical. Like, it must be so hard to keep that, like, warm in the wintertime.
It looks like if the Kool-Aid man was Christian and he busted through your barn. Yes. He's like, oh, yeah. Like, the shape of it's just like a very geometric cross.
It's like a 2 to 3 story tall hole in the side of his barn.
Yeah.
But since the end of 2022, he has been actively promoting his new book, As You Grow, which... sounds harmless enough. I think we can give it a pass. Yeah, but that, as that might indicate, this motherfucker is still using growing pains puns. It's about a tree and how those of us who don't believe in God will burn for all eternity or something.
Hell yeah.
The description on Amazon boasts that it was written by the legendary Kirk Cameron.
Okay, sure.
Legend, mate. Legend.
Legend.
Oh, my God.
Fucking oath, mate.
We've talked about the publisher Brave Books before. They're trying to, like, create a right-wing Marvel Cinematic Universe for children books. Like, all the books are set in a magical land of Freedom Island that is shockingly unfree. Mm-hmm. You will be surprised to learn there are locations such as Car-a-Lago Coast.
Car-a-Lago! Oh my God. Yeah.
There's also a place called Wigamore Woods. What's Wigamore? Is that for like the white people who think they're black? Like all the Wiggers hang out over there?
Maybe.
Wigamore
Woods. They might have that in their books. I don't know.
Amazing.
All these names. Okay, whatever. Cool. Let's go to Freedom Island.
There's talking animals and conservative buzzwords.
Oh, good,
and
good.
That seems to be about it.
Mm. Oh my God.
But so he was making headlines last year when his book launched, claiming that he has been banned from holding readings of his book by woke public libraries.
Aww.
Because first of all, is there anyone more victimized than white Christian former TV stars trying to promote their latest vanity project? Like,
oh, absolutely.
No, so hard for them. And also, is there a scarier villain than librarians?
I mean, the UN Council on Human Rights talked about this, about how
the problem with white librarians,
white Christian former TV stars, are really, really, really need to bring more attention to their plight.
Yeah,
they're a protected group, but. His war with librarians mainly is him piggybacking on all the bigotry and hate directed at drag queen story hours, using it to promote his book, arguing that books featuring LGBTQ+ characters are terrifying and a step towards totalitarianism. So
wow.
Accepting people
not
is
like
totalitarianism.
Not like burning and banning books. That's not a step towards totalitarianism.
I don't see any historical reference point for that. That would make sense at all, is what he's probably saying. Yeah, toward totalitarian acceptance of people on Earth.
Yes. Wow.
He denied that he's just trying to make headlines and sell his book and claimed that librarians were starting a war with him.
Oh, really? What are your receipts?
Librarians said, who is Kirk Cameron?
Yes.
So how did they start this war? Because people drove to his house and threw dog shit on his door and said, don't fuck with the library?
I mean, the fact that his door is a giant cross-shaped hole would make it super easy to throw dog shit in there.
Just threw it right through it.
Yeah. So his version of them waging a war on him is that he asked for, and he didn't just ask for like a slot to read his books to kids at the libraries. In his agency's email to libraries, they mentioned that Cameron also wanted to lecture children about the quote harmful effects of woke ideology, specifically critical race theory and the transgender agenda,
or as I call it, transgender.
Yeah,
the transgender.
What the fuck? It's like, so It's so obvious, like, he's just drafting off of, like, the culture war shit for his shit book.
That, right. That letter was specifically written to, like, outrage the people who were getting
Fox News set. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there was libraries like one in Providence, Rhode Island, very politely declined the offer because they were like, hey, we're like super queer friendly. And that like your messaging just like would not align with the community.
Whoa.
Here.
And whoa, what?
So, yeah, words of war.
I'm fighting words. Yeah. The messaging does not quite align.
Is the library really called Rochambeau?
Yeah. When I saw that, I was like, wow, I love
that's
that.
That's amazing.
Okay, so that was the killing of the Archduke Franz Ferdinand.
Yes.
By Gavrilo Princip. So then tell me how the rest of the
invasion of Poland. I think I'm mixing my World War IIIs up, but
yeah.
Another library received Cameron's request in New York. And responded to the message by try to remain calm as you hear this act of aggression, sending a link to the online application for presenting a library program.
What the fuck?
They're like, oh, you want to read at our library? Oh, just like here's the form. Apply for that, which they do to every request of this type, and the publisher did not submit an application.
Oh, censorship!
Yes. And then so he sent a letter about the transgender agenda,
mm-hmm.
And
thank you JFK, the transgender.
And the library declined extremely politely, and Kirk Cameron threatened legal action. The library director directed them to a request for a room rental.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Said,
do it in private. Fine. You can have access to the library, but just do it in your own little room of hate-filled fucking
This
weirdos.
Is the thing that is like pissing me off the most about all of these guys being like, my free speech rights are being, you know, curtailed or whatever. Like, no one guarantees you an audience, bro. That is not what the First Amendment says. It's free speech, not free reach. Like, get a grip. I don't understand it. I thought they all had pocket constitutions. They should read them.
Yeah. But that's what they want. That's what Elon Musk wants. That's he'll keep firing people until every one of his tweets gets to every Twitter user.
More traction than the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But so he did that, then booked the room.
Okay.
But then complained. And this is like a subtle form of warfare. Complained because his event wasn't on the website calendar, even though a Play-Doh play date was. So,
come on, Play-Doh Playdate is like a headline event for a library.
Yeah. That's the night of long knives, I feel like. That's like promoting the Play-Doh Playdate. Yeah. So in March, he appeared at a Brave Books library reading with other illustrious children's authors such as Jack Posobiec.
Oh my God.
Sean Spicer. The Lips of TikTok person, and like 20 people
what a
showed
fucking
up.
Crew.
Wow.
And they were like apparently really embarrassed by that. I'm like, for 20 people for a children's book reading?
Wait, when was the book reading?
I don't know. It was like, looks like it was 10:30 a.m.
On a Wednesday.
Right.
On a Wednesday morning. Yeah. Weren't they in school?
Yeah. Children were in school, but they were taken out. 20 children and 25 adults showed up.
What the fuck? You can't even plan it. Do you even know the concept of your audience? Like, where are they? Or in their mind, they're all being homeschooled because they're not getting indoctrinated with the woke ideology in public schools or something. Yeah. Sure. Great timing, though.
Yeah. But it's the free speech, not free reach point. That's a great saying.
I don't know. Every single time someone is like, but my ideas should have a large audience. I'm like, what? Like, no. That's like saying...
People don't like them, though.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Your whole thing is you hate pizza.
Right.
The fuck
exactly.
Your audience, you just... I don't know who the fuck this appeals to.
I'm being censored.
Yeah.
I'm being suppressed.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Just because everything I'm saying is so wildly unpopular, why won't it catch on?
Exactly.
It worked for, but then it's like always funny because you think these people are like, it worked for Hitler.
Right.
Why can't it?
What the guy was killing it.
Oh, yeah. God.
I'm doing the same material right now.
Yeah.
And no one likes it. What the fuck is this?
But it is true. Yeah. Everybody has a persecution complex, like including like NBA players. Like everybody yes. like thinks because it's like an optical illusion created by our attention economy where you like hear every bad thing that is ever said about you. And like,
right.
your brain only hears the bad things and not the good things. And so right. everybody thinks they're being persecuted. And
yeah,
the right is yeah. probably the biggest offender.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck yeah. to you.
Because Kirk. They do actually suck, as opposed to Joel Embiid, who a lot of people like. But like one guy says he sucks and he's like, nobody believed in me
from the jump.
The right actually sucks at what they're doing. So they're probably hearing a lot more of it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Amy, it's been such a pleasure having you yeah. on the Daily Zeitgeist.
Thank you so much for having me again. I'll see you guys in 4 years.
Yeah, yeah. See you in four. See you in a tight four.
Later.
Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
I have, let's see, a bunch of stuff on drilled.media. That's where like the podcast and related writings and stuff are. I also write regularly for The Guardian and The Intercept. And then I am on Twitter still at Amy Westervelt.
There you go. And is yeah. there a work of media that you've been enjoying?
Oh my God. Have you guys seen, I know that like, we were talking about the writer's strike and how, you know, it's a bummer that all the TV channels are switching to like non-scripted reality TV. But have you seen Jury Duty?
Yes.
Oh my God, it's so good. I love
with
it so
Pauly
much.
Shore?
No, yes. no,
oh,
not
no?
with Pauly Shore.
Oh, okay. Oh, I was about to wait, type about? 5 minutes about Son-in-Law too.
Yeah.
No.
Oh man, in
no.
the Army Now, dude, Biodome?
yeah. No,
I'm sorry, what is this now?
Jury Duty killed me, the streaming show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes. It's so good. I thought it was so good. And also, like, yeah, just sort of, like, endearing and very watchable. So, yeah, that's the thing I binged most recently.
Miles, where can people find you? Is there a work of media you've been enjoying?
At based websites, at Miles of Gray. If you like basketball talk and you want to hear more about Jack's sad NBA, check us out on our NBA podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties or Sad Boosties in this week's episode. And if you like 90 Day Fiancé, catch me and Sophia Alexandra out on our 90 Day show, 420 Day Fiancé. Let's see. Some,
amazing.
A couple of tweets I like because we were talking about, you know, AI or in the worker strike. This one is from Carl Sharrow at Carl Remarks. Tweeted, humans doing the hard jobs on minimum wage while the robots write poetry and paint is not the future I wanted. yeah, that felt real, real. Yeah, that was spot on. And then Taylor K. Phillips at Tay K. Phillips tweeted, literally no one understands something more completely than a woman in a meeting who starts a question with, so just so I understand.
yeah. Turns out, yeah, she understands.
yeah, totally.
Amazing.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Tweet I've been enjoying at Marxist in 513. Is that Dayton, Ohio? The 513?
Okay.
Tweeted just a screen cap of an article that said, these entitled millennials are cheering for a housing market crash. Millennials are actually cheering for a housing market crash on Twitter so they can afford a home. It seems the very image of entitlement. And you just tweeted, gaslight me, daddy. You're entitled because you want to be able to afford a house at some point in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This sure. is like this kind of goes in line with a lot of things. I've heard so many or read more articles like millennials are actually doing better than Gen X and boomers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, just because the dollar amounts are like higher in certain respects, like, I'm sorry. Okay, sure. That's go on. Though.
At this stage, after like a decade of like hyperinflation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just have a chart that I have to show my boomer mom like once a year to remind her that like
where
it
we're
just
at.
Shows. Yeah. Like cost of living and wages. I'm like, see that gap? See how the gap keeps growing? You know, she's like, right. Oh, because every time I see her, she's like, I don't understand. Like people your age. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, yeah, because
it almost seems like an unbelievable reality to be in, right? From your perspective.
Yes.
That's why.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
All right. Well, you can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and our website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, is there a song that you think people might enjoy?
Yeah, I was just listening to this rapper from the UK, bruv. Jianbo. J-I-A-N-B-O. Chinese, Vietnamese, British rapper with like a rhyme style. It's dope. This track is called Mongkok Madness. M-O-N-G-K-O-K Madness. And it's just dope. Get into it. Jianbo coming at you.
Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending. And we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
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 Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.